your goodness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you would stand with me for the reading of the word, turn in your Bibles to Book of Proverbs, chapter 2. I'm appreciative of our pastor. All that he has done. Putting up with me since I was a snotty-nosed freshman in high school or in college. Yes, I was snot-nosed in freshman in college. Appreciate his leadership in my life. Proverbs chapter 2, starting in verse 1, reading down to verse 11, it says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." Tonight I want to speak on the topic, light bulb. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much, Jesus, for your goodness, your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this church. And as Pastor Roy said, our future God, Lord God, and what has been, we've seen and what is going on now. And also, God, we're excited for the future. I pray you just speak to our hearts today, God, through this Bible study, Lord Jesus, that you would just speak to us, Lord God. Let it penetrate our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and you can be seated. A couple weeks ago, there was a big buzz about the Christian worship artist Michael and Lisa Gungor. I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm assuming that's the correct pronunciation. They make up the group Gungor, thus their last name. They are a Dove Award-winning group, Christian group. They have been nominated for a Grammy and have had a few popular worship songs over the last few years. They did an interview with the Oakland Press early August, where they talked about how in 2012, and more specifically, this was Michael being interviewed, they started questioning their long-held religious beliefs. In one of his blog posts from earlier this year, Michael is quoted as saying, or he posted this on his blog, and this is just a portion, "Over the last year, I have had so many questions asked of me about what I believe. Just tonight, I had a conversation with someone extremely close to me that said that he wouldn't consider me a Christian anymore. Why? Not because of my life, not because my life looks like Jesus or doesn't look like Jesus, but because of my lack of ability to nail down all the words and concepts of what I exactly believe. Because I've lost so many of the unconscious assumptions that I used to have." Michael is a pastor's kid, actually from Wisconsin. So he grew up in the church, not sure what denomination or anything, but he grew up knowing the word of the Lord, the Bible stories and all this stuff. And he's saying, I can't nail down what I believe. And I've had all these unconscious assumptions about the word of God. The article I read about Michael and Lisa is on ChristianPost.com. It made the comment about how they had an evolving theological position. Their belief system has changed over time. Michael went on to say, "I have no more ability to believe, for example, that the first people on earth were a couple named Adam and Eve that lived 6,000 years ago. I have no ability to believe that there was a flood that covered all the highest mountains of the world only 4,000 years ago, and all of the animal species that exist today are here because they were carried on an ark and then somehow walked or flew all around the world from a mountain in the Middle East after the water dried up. I have no more ability to believe these things than I do to believe in Santa Claus or to not believe in gravity. Reminds me of Paul when he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It will be in the King James up there. It says, Paul is speaking to Timothy, hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. As you know, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me, even Phygelus and Hermogenes. So it reminds me of these two guys who Paul was tight with. For whatever reason, they did not hold true or did not guard the things of truth. What will keep us and preserve us? In our opening scripture, Proverbs 2:11, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. So as Michael Gunger not really had knowledge that was rooted and grounded in scripture this whole time? Or was he not careful guarding it? Being raised in the church, there's a lot of things you just do because you do. And I could see where he's saying, like, you know what? I have all these unconscious assumptions. I just assumed this was true, assumed that. But somewhere along the lines, he never got it for himself, in my opinion. And that's something I had to face as someone being raised in the church and young people and young adults. If you're raised in the church, you have to get it for yourself and not just, this is all, what I always do, because sometime, this is for free, life will hit you. And if it's just this is what I've always done, potentially out the door, unfortunately. If you don't have that, this is what I know. It's just like, well, this is what I've always done. Adults too. I'm not excluding you folks. Us folks. Yes, I'm an adult. His blog would seem to suggest that very thing. He could not articulate what he believed, but had a bunch of unconscious assumptions. There's a saying, knowledge is power. And I would tend to agree when it comes to our Christian life. It's through knowledge that we see our state as sinners, our need for salvation. Through knowledge we see that there's a solution through Jesus Christ and that we have a need to come to Him, but also that we can make a change in our lives. As we journey through life with Jesus, we should be continuing to grow in our relationship with the Lord, becoming more and more like Him, which comes through a base of knowledge. Hebrews 5, starting in verse 11, going to 14 again. I'm reading in the New Living Translation, but you can follow along. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. None of us should be at the same exact place that we were in August of 2013. We should all be growing in the knowledge of the Lord in every different area. And maybe this year it was just one specific area that God worked you through and brought you in more knowledge. But we all should be, in some facet, in some way, we should all be farther along than we were a year ago. I think about Brother Rossing's message on the process of holiness back in April. I tried to get a slide on the screen and it failed. That's why the screen froze earlier. Apologize during worship service, but it was the slide where it was a graph. Growth was on the left, duration time, and it was the going from bottom to left. As you go time this way, you should be growing that way. And it was an arrow. I don't know if anyone remembers that, but over time we should be growing closer and closer to the Lord. It's a continual process. Last week, Brother Travis Carter tied it into what we are called to do. He said that we feel a call of God on our lives, and we want to be that person the very next day. So, like, I feel a call to be an evangelist. I'm going to go evangelize tomorrow. And the problem is that we want to start in the upper right corner, but we've never gotten past step one in that process. We don't have a foundation to really sustain the potential success or the potential impact of a step 10, so to speak, evangelist. Hey, get the basic servanthood first before you even try to get up there. And that's a common pitfall is to, I feel I know what the Lord wants me to do. I'm going to do it right away. Instead of saying, God, what do you need to prepare me in? What area of knowledge or area of service? We can't skip steps 1 to 9 to get to step 10. We have to do step 1 first. Why is knowledge so important? Because why is the growth process so important? Why should we be applying ourselves in this area? Because without that effort, we just slip right into our natural instincts, our fleshly-minded selves. Jude puts it pretty bluntly in Jude verse 10, again, New Living Translation. But these people scoff at things they do not understand. Like unthinking animals, they do whatever their instincts tell them. And so they bring about their own destruction, going down to verse 16. These people are grumblers and complainers, living only to satisfy their desires. They brag loudly about themselves, and they flatter others to get what they want. Down to 18. They told you that in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. It's important to be striving after knowledge. Else what? The natural tendency is to revert back to your flesh, your natural instinct. If we're not praying as Pastor has taught us, well, you've already defeated yourself because, again, you're going to be living in the flesh, not the Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. You already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory to Him, both now and forever. It is important, this concept of knowledge and growing in the knowledge of the Lord. So I said I agree with the phrase that knowledge is power, but I want to add one big caveat. Knowledge is power only if it's followed by a decision that an individual makes or an action that is taken. Romans 2:13, for merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in His sight. So we hear messages where we're taught Bible studies, and just because we listen and we hear it doesn't make us right in the eyes of God. It's obeying that thing, whatever we're challenged. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, you can be unfruitful in your knowledge. You can have a whole lot of knowledge, but never apply it to your life. 2 Peter 1:5-8 says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn the scripture around. If you haven't added to your knowledge and applied to the application of scripture in temperance and patience and godliness, etc., you will be barren and unfruitful in that knowledge. Knowledge. We need to have patience, for example. Amen. We need to be patient. Hallelujah. And then we drive on the way to church and some slowpoke on TT that you can't pass because it's a no passing zone. And then as soon as it's a no passing, there's cars coming. And you're like, dude, you're driving 2 miles below the speed limit. Speed up at least to the, you know, speed limit. And so all that knowledge about being patient, it's worthless. Unless it's applied to, and that's one bit of knowledge that God loves to test us with. Like, you know, oh, you want patience. I will give you patience, Mr. Speed Demon. You'll be stuck behind them forever. What good is that knowledge about being patient? It's worthless. Without action or application in our lives, knowledge is not powerful at all. It's just knowledge. Lord, help us not to be like the folks that Paul described to Timothy. Again, 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a Bible junkie, as Pastor calls them, where I know a lot but never ever apply anything to my life. God forbid. That's not what God has planned for our lives. Anyone remember the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote? Back when cartoons were actually cartoons and great and not weird and wacky. Anyways, side note. Wile E. was always trying to catch Roadrunner, and yet his traps or gadgets always turned on him, and he was the one getting stomped on, or the cliff falling on him, or the dynamite exploding him. But there was moments after getting pummeled that he's laying there, and as he gets a look on his face like, ah, I know what I'm going to do next. This is going to work this time. And yeah, off he goes to get pummeled again. And but Wile E. has a light bulb moment. Like, ah, that's going to capture the Roadrunner. A light bulb moment is where it dawns on you how what you read in the Bible or are taught in a Bible study or what is discussed in a men's or ladies group or what you hear over this pulpit, a light bulb moment is how any of that applies to your life. I was meeting with, this is where this message, this was a light bulb message. I was meeting with a young adult, young man, and he was talking and it was like, man, it was just like, boom, clicked in my head what you've talked to me all these years about. And I'm like, I'll preach. And so I'm preaching it. But it was very cool because that's what I'm talking about. It was like finally something clicked in his head and there was that light bulb moment. It's when the knowledge that we have gathered finally clicks in our head and bing, the light bulb goes on. And we're like, that's what Pastor was talking about. Or that's how that scripture applies to my situation. I never saw that before. It's in those light bulb moments that we get it. And then because we get it, we naturally take action. So the key to our growth in the Lord and knowledge being powerful in our lives is having an area where there once was no knowledge. It then becomes an area of knowledge. And then it becomes an area where knowledge is in action. So tonight I'm going to give the 10 steps of what we'll call the knowledge cycle. 10 steps. You ready? All right. A couple of people are ready. Step number one, admit you don't know everything. Most folks know that they don't know everything in life, so this is a pretty easy step for most people to master. However, there are some that are know-it-alls, and they know everything that there is to know. And we've all had a conversation with one of those, you know, not in this church, outside the church, of course. Now it may not be about everything in the world, but it could be about a particular topic or particular area of our lives. And so we need to look inside ourselves to see if we have that know-it-all attitude about that a particular area in life. I've tried to talk to folks and young people as a youth pastor and about something, and it's like, oh yeah, I know. I do that too. Yeah. Oh, yep. Mm-hmm. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking to myself, I wouldn't be addressing this with you if you were getting it and if you knew this. It's like, I agree. Yep. And it's like brick wall. And you're like, okay, I guess you know. And so the first step, we have to admit that, you know what? We may not know something. In regards to sin, if we're looking in the areas of sin, 1 John 1:8-10, if we claim we have no sin, Jesus loves me. I love Jesus. We got a thing going. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful, just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Step one is simply don't fool yourself into thinking that you have it all together. There's always going to be something that you can grow in and some piece of knowledge that God has for you in the next step of your relationship with him. Step two, be willing to change. Be teachable. This is a common one. Some can admit they have a weakness or lack knowledge or subpar behavior, but their answer is, well, that's just who I am. There's a quote in a book I've been reading. It's called Soul Detox. I would encourage anyone to read it, Soul Detox. It says, those who are most defensive are often the most unknowingly guilty. It's been said that the more convinced you are that you're right, the more likely you are wrong. If you fight back against those trying to help you, chances are you are fighting to keep your own lies intact. We have to be willing to change. To ever get to a light bulb moment in our lives, we have to be willing to change if knowledge that we gain calls for it. And we need to be teachable and have a teachable spirit. We look at an example in the Bible, Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts chapter 8. He was a man who had great authority under the Ethiopian queen. He was in charge of the treasury, basically a big shot. Probably knew a whole lot about politics, about ruling, about authority. A very learned man, I would assume. He's sitting in a chariot reading the book of Isaiah, and the Lord sends Philip, great name, along, who asks him if he understands what he's reading. Like, you're reading the book of Isaiah. Do you have any clue what you're reading? Do you understand what it means? And Acts 8:31, the Ethiopian eunuch says, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. What was the result? The result was him being baptized in Jesus' name. Philip explained the scripture. It was like, oh, light bulb moment, because he was willing to be taught. Someone who, in my estimation, is an authority. He's learned. He's got it going on. But he was like, you know what? This is something I've never heard about. I want to know. Come teach me. You know about this? Sure. I'm willing to be taught, even though I'm over the treasury and have all the money and, you know, tight with the queen and all that stuff. He was probably in his position of authority because of his willingness to learn and change. And that's probably why he was elevated to there. Oftentimes that happens. Step number two is being willing to change, being teachable. Step number three, solidify in your mind and heart that I can change. Some folks have a hard time seeing themselves as worthy enough that God would even see them as valuable to change their situation around. This is just my lot in life. This is how, you know, generations have been all before me, my parents, my grandparents, the ones before them, and on and on. This is just, you know, I'm never going to, you know, I why would God help me change? Others feel stuck. They feel hopeless. They are willing to change, but they just don't think they can. And so if this is a step that you are facing, that you have these feelings, when we're faced with self-doubt or fear of failure, that's where we have to hold on to the word of God and not our feelings about ourselves. So many times, like, oh, I feel horrible, I'm worthless, and all that. That's where we have to go to the word of God. You know what? Yes, I feel like I'm never going to change. I feel my situation's never going to get better. But you know what? The word of God says, even though I feel it, I have to stand on the word. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm standing on that, even though I don't feel it. And you keep doing that. You keep doing that. Eventually, you're going to feel it and say, you know what? Yeah, I can do this. I can do this. Let's tackle it. We don't need a college degree to be able to understand the Bible and how it applies to our lives. Mark 10:15, Jesus with the people, and all these kids come around him, and the disciples are like, get the kids away. This guy's important. And he's like, no, have them come unto me. And he follows it up in Mark 10:15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. A child doesn't know a lot, but is humble and comes willing to learn. And you say, you know what? Hey, do it this way. They're just like, oh, cool. And they just do it without even questioning. It's that simplistic mind of a child. And God responds to that. And so we don't have to be a philosopher to understand the word of God. When it says, thus saith the word of the Lord, we're just like, sweet, it's in the book. I'm going to do it. Let's make it happen. Step number three, solidify in your mind and heart that I can change. Step number four, be full of the Holy Ghost and where to start. In our pursuit of knowledge and in our efforts to grow and have light bulb moments, we need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because there's a whole lot of knowledge out there that you just don't need to know about. And so we need the Holy Ghost alive and active in our hearts to lead us into the areas that God wants us to grow in. Else we'll get distracted and or turned away. One of my very good friends from when I was a kid moved to another state and was in the church, an MK just like me, and moved to help start a church and went with a buddy of his. And I don't know exactly what all happened, but I know he began studying Buddhism. And now there's a place for that, if the disclaimer, if you are witnessing and a coworker is Buddhist and you want to see, you know what, how does Christianity relate? How can I portray that to him? I understand studying those kind of concepts, but he just studied the religion of Buddhism and all the ethereal concepts and New Age and all that stuff, which again, I have no clue what it's about. So, but he's began studying that, and very soon he was off the deep end with his thoughts and into Nietzsche and all these other philosophers and just out of church now, not living for the Lord. Why? Because you know what? I need to know about this. Why? If the Lord directs you, like, you know what, go study, you know, get some counsel, and you've got a coworker, again, that's the caveat there, but there's some things that we should just not know. A few years ago, like 3-4 years ago, I heard it through the grapevine. There was going to be a conference, and it was actually put on by a UPC minister who led it. And the whole concept was about exposing exposing what's going on in the entertainment world, the music industry. And I'd heard about this, and this conference was coming to Wisconsin and one of our churches, and all these church folks were already saved. We're talking about, like, oh, this is the greatest thing, and I can't believe what's. And so Fiona and I, like, sat down and we're like, oh, I wonder what's this all about, UPC guy. It was basically going through current pop stars and current rappers and hip hop artists and just all secular artists and saying, oh my goodness, we're exposing, look, this is the demonic symbols and the occult symbols in their music videos and in their lyrics. This is what they mean. And it was just like, oh my goodness, I can't even believe it. I mean, because we've never listened to music ourselves, or, you know, we're like, that's crazy. Yeah, we knew this was bad, you know. And the more, like, and it, like, all, it started sucking us in, and we watched, there was like 5 or 6 on YouTube. And so we watched one, and, oh, we watched the second. And all of a sudden, we're just like, something's not right here. What? You know, this is an apostolic minister and doing this, and I'm not judging, because I think in the context, if it was a purely secular audience who have no clue about what they're listening to and they're active listening, I can see the potential and the power of that kind of conference. But these were apostolic folks, like, oh, this is great, I can't, you know, and they are in turn exposing themselves to all those symbols and all that meaning. And we're like, why? What's wrong? And just through prayers, it's like, be simple in the things. For Romans 16:19, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And this, it was just a lesson for us in our own lives. Like, I don't need to know the occultic symbols and all the you know, symbolism and all this stuff to know that some of these artists are just, they're whacked. And they're not, I should not be listening to them. I don't need to know the detail. And that's where we have to be full of the Holy Ghost so that we are studying and gaining knowledge about what is godly and about what God wants us to grow in and grow in. Pastor talks all about that. We shouldn't be researching all this stuff about demons and everything. I want to know about demons so I can fight them. Why would you just be full of the Holy Ghost? I got enough problems without worrying about what demonic stuff is all about. Thank you for your leadership and your pastorship in my life. Because we get into all of that and it can mess us up. So we should ask the Lord to show us. God, show me what step, what do I need to learn? Step 4, be full of the Holy Ghost and where to start. Step 5, apply yourself to knowledge and wisdom. Let's look back at our opening scripture, Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. There are a whole lot of action verbs in that passage. It doesn't say, if thou liest on the couch and placest thy Bible upon thine head, the knowledge shall osmosisize into thy brain, and thou shalt grow in the Lord. I tried that in school with college, and it doesn't work. Take a nap with the book. Osmosis has no bearing in the area of knowledge. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. You've got to apply yourself. You're not going to know anything if you don't say, you know what, I want to learn that. Colossians 4:2, I'm reading the New Living Translation, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Devotion, that's not a passive action. That's getting after it. I'm going to be devoted to these things. We celebrated the life of our dear brother Irv Manley a couple weeks ago. One of the comments that was made was that at his funeral was that if he didn't know something, he would study it and research it and figure it out and come back with knowledge. It took effort, but he learned a whole lot of things, as we all heard, and just the many vast areas that he was knowledgeable in. Why? Because if he didn't know it, he went and found out about it. He didn't just get it by standing by. No, he applied himself to knowledge. What a standard for us to follow. No one is going to force you to get knowledge. Right now, no one is forcing you to listen to this Bible study. You and I have to make the choice to go after knowledge. We need to take the time to read our Bible, not just to check off today's reading list, but with a determination, a devotion to finding a nugget of truth that God wants us to hear. We have come to church ready to get something from the Lord. God, I don't know what it is, but God, speak to me tonight. That's how we should come into the sanctuary, into the house of God. Not like, oh, man, I'm tired. Hopefully Phil preaches short like he normally does. Oh no, he has 12 pages of notes. This is going to be a long one. But no, you know what, God, I'm exhausted, but I know there's something that you have for me tonight. And it doesn't have to be rabid, like, wow, but it's just, God, I want to grow tonight. Coming with that application, with that applying yourselves. Colossians 2:7, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. We have to allow it to happen. How many times we've heard Sister Vicki Oliver say, God is a gentleman. Same with this. He's not going to be, I mean, sometimes he allows situations that cause us to like, oh my goodness, I need to change. But he's not going to be like, psh, here's some knowledge. Read this book. No, he's going to be like, I'll wait. I'll wait till they say they want to know. I'll wait. We have to allow it to happen. Let's give a hand clap to the Lord. Hallelujah. Step one, admit you don't know everything. Step two, be willing to change, be teachable. Step three, solidify in your mind and heart that I can change. Step four, be full of the Holy Ghost in where to start. Step five, apply yourself to knowledge and wisdom. Go after it. Five more steps. Step six, listen to the godly voices in your life. I'm not talking the voices in your head. The godly voices in your life. That may be the written word, the spoken word. It may be an authority in your life, an elder in the church, a mentor, a teacher. But we need to listen to those godly voices in our lives. If you are in step five, applying yourself to knowledge, looking for a word from God, it will come. If you are saying, God, I want something, God's going to say, oh, you want to learn something. Good. Let me provide something. And there's going to be a voice in your life. Maybe it's you reading your Bible at home. Maybe it's a message. Maybe it's a discussion group, men's ministry on Saturday morning. And you just go like, oh, there's that nugget. You have to listen. We have to pay attention. In regards to spiritual leaders and elders, Proverbs 22:17, bow down thy ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. The most frustrating thing I've faced in ministry is you are trying to give some words of wisdom even though you maybe not know everything in life, and they are like, oh yeah, but they're not hearing the words. They're hearing you, but they're not hearing, if you get what I mean. We need to hear the words of the wise, of those our elders in our lives. Hebrews 13:17, obey your spiritual leaders, do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. We all need someone who we're submitted to and who has veto power in our lives, who can watch over us and see, you know, that's an attitude. That you're starting to drift in your mindset. Or someone who can correct something in your attitude, language, actions. I love Jordan. I remember a Link rally. He was invited to play in Monroe at drums. You remember this? And he was just so excited and just, not drums, bass, sorry. And he was just going at it, and he's like, yeah, they actually turned the bass up in this church. Yeah, blah, blah. And he's going nuts and just having a great old time. And afterwards, I was like, everyone was going into the gym. I'm like, hey, Jordan, let's talk. And I'm like, I don't see you worshiping. You look like you're having fun. And you sounded good. But what good is that? Why was I able to say that? Because Jordan said, you know what? If you ever see something in my life, hit me upside the head. So I did. And I've probably relayed this story before, but that is powerful. When you say, you know what? Be a voice in my life. And I will listen. And sure enough, next time, did you see me worship? I'm like, no, I'm not paying attention. You know, I love my buddy Jordan. Sometimes this isn't a fun part because we may hear something that is uncomfortable or something that we don't want to hear. Hebrews 12:11 in the New Living Translation. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. How many of you have been spanked and like, woo! This is awesome. Go ahead, Mom. Some of you are like really horrible people did, but I hated being spanked. Bare bottom days. Woo! In the church. Come on now. Yeah. Can I get a witness? No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Proverbs 12:1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. In regards to the word of God, 2 Timothy 3:15-17, again in the New Living Translation, you have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Don't just learn. but actually not, and not grow and gain that knowledge, but actually not grow. We need to listen to those voices, the word of God, the spoken word, the elders, etc. Again, if you've done step five and you are applying yourself to knowledge and reading the Bible, waiting for something to jump out at you, God will show you something in his word. And if you sit down, don't just like, oh, I got to read these three chapters. Say, no, God, you know, if I don't make it through one chapter, God, show me something today that I can apply. It will highlight something we need to change. God will highlight, the word of God will. So what's the practical that we can do in this step? Step number six, if something jumps out at you in a sermon or in your Bible reading or talking with someone, write it down. Oftentimes we are stirred by the Holy Ghost. I've had this in a service or through the reading of your word at home, and you're like, oh, that's just an awesome thought. Man, I gotta, you know, I don't understand everything, but that really stuck out to me. And then I've gone home and like, what was that thought again? Oops. Oh, God, can you remind me of the thought? Lead me to that scripture again, and it tends not to happen. If we come down, you know, oftentimes we're stirred by the Holy Ghost and we come down to the altar and cry our eyes out like, oh, I'm going to change. I got to get rid of this stuff in my life. And then we go home and we don't change and we don't get rid of the stuff. And the next service that topic comes up, we're like, oh, that's right. I was supposed to change and get rid of this stuff in my life. Why? Because we didn't make note of it. So I would encourage, very practical. We have cell phones. We have iPads. We have pen and paper. If you're not on the technological side, write it down and then respond to the Lord and pray and ask him and all this stuff, but write it down for later. And we'll get into that step, but write it down. We should be practical and not just respond emotionally. God moves me emotionally. I do respond, but I want to change. I don't want to just have an emotional response yet not change. I want to change in my life. How can I practically set myself up for that success? Write it down. Why? Check it out. We think about the parable of the sower, the sowing seed, and all these, the four areas, they were, the thorns came, and one of them was the birds. Some of the seed was thrown out by the fowl, but the fowls came and devoured them. And that's what's happening. The seed's thrown out, and you're like, oh, such a good word. And then you go home, and the fowls of the air, and life gets busy, and it's stolen from you. Why? Because you didn't be practical and write something down. But if you write it down, you've solidified that seed. And though you may not remember it if in the next morning or something, if you are, again, in step five, number five, applying yourself to knowledge, you're going to be like, all right, today I'm going to learn something. Oh, that's right. I wrote this down in my journal, my Bible journal, my Bible reading journal, or my sermon notes that I took. And I wrote something down. Let me go look at it. Step five then connects with this step where you practically write. And it's like, oh, that thought, now I gotta figure out what this applies to me. Step six is listening to the godly voices, being practical about it. If they speak to you, write it down. As simple as that. Why? Because step seven is be full of the Holy Ghost. But in this time, in asking how the knowledge applies. Step four was also about being full of the Holy Ghost. But in that step, we need to be full of the Holy Ghost to determine what we are going after knowledge-wise. And what is knowledge is beneficial. In this step, it's all about, Lord, how does the piece of knowledge that you've given me, how does it apply to my life? How am I supposed to change? What does that look like in my life? Because a word goes out, and in a church our size, it could mean 300 different things to 300 different people. What it meant to me, and like, man, I got to change this area. You're like, I never got that, but man, I got this. And this is where I have to change. This step is all about showing how it applies. Psalms 139, 1 through 4 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways, for there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. God knows our thoughts. He knows why we think what we're thinking, but not only that, why we think what we're thinking. Yes, I just repeated myself. The problem is that we don't readily know all of that ourselves. We often have thoughts or do things, and we really have no clue the inner core reason why we thought that, why we said that, why we acted that way. And since we can't change what we can't identify, we need to ask God to give us wisdom, which again is the application of knowledge to our lives. and situations. So on a Sunday night, you're stirred. You write down a thought that the Lord showed you, a piece of knowledge. You then respond at the altar and pray about it. It may happen then, or it may be at home when you go back to your journal, your notes, and you look at it, and you have that nugget written down. You sit down in prayer and ask the Lord, this really stirred me, God, but I really don't know how to specifically apply to my life. God, show me, give me wisdom to apply it to my specific set of circumstances. Parents, I want to encourage you in this step as you raise your children. This will be a natural step for them when they get into the adolescent and teen years and young adults if you lead your family in these steps early on. Maybe you feel a message stir you as a parent and you feel like this is something that, you know, I want to see in our family. Have a godly powwow. That's what we used to call them, godly powwows. And talk with your kids about them at an early age. Maybe you're struggling financially and you know, in the Word of God, just God really speaks to you and comforts you with the, you know, Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto thy own understanding. That's a teachable moment to go home and say, kids, you know what? We don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, did you hear the scripture tonight? It said, trust in the Lord. This is an applicable time, kids. We need to trust in the Lord. But it doesn't make sense, Dad. Why? We're good people. Why? Exactly. It says, with all thine heart, lean not unto you. We don't understand it. And it's a teachable moment. So I want to encourage parents, teach your kids this concept, and they'll naturally start doing it as they get older and older. If you're in Bible quizzing, I want to encourage that as well. Bible quizzing is amazing. I've seen the results of adults who were in Bible quizzing. But oftentimes there's not a result till they're adults. And I want to encourage Bible quiz parents, take those moments. If you know a memory scripture is being memorized and then there's a moment in your family or in their life and you know what? Hey, that scripture you memorized, this applies to that. Let's look at this. Do you see that? And begin to train them and they'll start, you know what? This is not just about knowledge and memorizing. It's about applying it to my life. And I've seen that happen even at a young age. Young people can get it. There's no excuse to be like, oh, I'm just a young person. Adults, they can get it at 12 years old and younger. We need to expect more of our young people. We expect a whole lot because you guys can do it. You can understand. You can learn. You can grow at a very young age and do great things for the Lord. If we ask the Lord to show us the application for our lives, He will show us. And he'll be like, light bulb. Oh my goodness, that's what he's talking about. Step one, admit you don't know everything. Step two, be willing to change, be teachable. Step three, solidify in your mind, I can change. Step four, be full of the Holy Ghost in where to start. Step five, apply yourself to knowledge and wisdom. Step six, listen to the godly voices in your life. Step seven, be full of the Holy Ghost and asking how the knowledge applies to you. Step eight, all there is left to do is to take action. Step eight is to take action. 2 Peter 1:5-6, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence and moral excellence with knowledge, and add to your knowledge self-control, patience, endurance, godliness. You've got the knowledge. You know how it applies to your life. The Lord has shown you that light bulb moment. Now apply it. Make the change. Take the action. The Lord says we need to change this behavior. Don't just say, oh, God. If you're going through all these steps, it's going to be a natural, like, all right, I get it. Now I just need to take the step. I need to make the action. I mean, course correction. Just know that like a test allows you to apply your newfound knowledge in school. Everyone excited for tests? School starting? No excitement there. God brings opportunities for us to apply our knowledge in Him. It's that application of knowledge that shows us that we have it down in our lives. If you continue to struggle, the same struggles in life over and over again, you can't seem to get past a certain hurdle. Maybe it's finances, dealing with a personality type, struggling with lustful thoughts. If you've gone through step seven and still struggle, ask yourself, have I really taken the action? Have I made a change? Because if we're struggling, God's just bringing it back up. All right, you haven't learned. Let's bring another test. Oh, you haven't learned. Let's bring the same type of person into your life. Oh, you haven't learned. And I want you to apply that knowledge. Apply the light bulb moment that I've given you. Take action. Step 9, get ready for the next lesson. There will always be something to learn, something to apply in your life. So don't rest on your laurels. If God hasn't been knocking on your door lately, you need to get back in this cycle, the knowledge cycle, and say, you know what? Okay, I don't know everything. God, I want to change. God, I want to grow in you, and start the cycle all over. Step 9, get ready for the next one once you learn that one. Step 10, Alyssa Steps is always much cooler with 10 steps. So there's 10 steps, but there's nothing there. If the musicians would come. Hallelujah. Lord wants us to grow, church. How many want to grow? Amen. If you would stand with me as musicians come. This is very practical stuff, just teaching tonight. And I hope something stuck out to you. And I hope you wrote it down so that tomorrow when you're praying in prayer and talking to the Lord, you'll be like, God, how can I apply that to my life? 10 steps, really 9. But 10 steps, the knowledge cycle. I want to encourage you. We can grow in the Lord. We can change. We can become perfect in Him through the process of time and growing and applying ourselves. So as the musicians play, why don't we just find a place to pray, and just ask the Lord, God, where am I at in this cycle? Do I think I know it all? God, if I think I know it all in an area, show me that area so I can start working on that area. Maybe you're in step 2. Maybe you're in step 3. Maybe you're not teachable. Maybe you don't have a voice in your life. God, show me somebody in my life, in this church, an elder, a leader that I can submit myself to, that can just bust my chops and help me and lead me and guide me and help me grow. Won't you find a place to pray? Let's talk to the Lord tonight. He wants to give you a light bulb moment. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord.